Hello, it's Carmen McDougall here from Carmen Inspires, and welcome to another series where we're interviewing amazing people with amazing stories to help you in your journey of life, whatever that might be. And today I have an amazing lady, a lady who I've actually admired from afar for many years. And in fact, when I first started to be introduced to the world of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, I bought a book called NLP at Work. And I've actually got the author of that lady here today. So Sue Knight, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Now, Sue, before we begin, I would love for you to share with the listeners a little bit about yourself, a little brief story about your own journey and how particularly, because I know you're the pioneer or bringing NLP into the workplace for leaders. So just tell us a little bit about yourself so people got even more of an understanding of you.
Well, I'm a Liverpool girl.
Ah.
probably says quite a bit to some people, a certain style about people from Liverpool, particularly the humour. And I often stand in places today because we are very fortunate, my husband and I, live and work mainly in France, India and the UK. So we divide I go to other countries as well, but we divide our time mainly between those three places. Oh. And we do often stand there and say, you know, and I think back to Liverpool and think, how did this happen? because I do feel very blessed in what we have in our life. And I feel that my journey has been probably in summary, a series of saying yes to opportunities that have come my way.
Yes. That's interesting. Yeah.
And I think I've been very, some people say you make your own fortune, but
yes,
I think that there are certain factors that you know, can put things in your path or make you aware of those things in your path, and then being prepared to take a risk and say yes to them.
Yes.
Sometimes when the odds might seem to be against you, I think that's one of the factors that's made a difference.
Yes, that's fantastic. And obviously you wrote your book. How did that come about for you?
Well, that was very interesting because I recognise that a lot of people spend time looking for a publisher, and a publisher came to me. It was Nicholas Brearley, who is very much in the market, and certainly at that time, of leading edge books, and he knew about NLP, and he knew that there was, or felt that there was, a real gap in the business area.
Right.
And he'd heard that I was doing trainings and work in that area. So we actually both had a stand at the same exhibition at Olympia. And he'd made contact before then, but he came up to me and said, would I be interested in writing a book on NLP in the workplace?
Wow.
And I said yes.
Fantastic. Brilliant. And I'm sure it's on the shelves of many people, as it is mine. And I know when I attended my own NLP training, your name did come up quite a bit. So, so you're a bit of a celebrity, Sue, if anything else.
the book's more of a celebrity, I think, than
yes.
I am, because it's amazing. It has, it's just, you know, he always said, Nicholas Brearley always said, that some books are sprinters. They burst onto the shelves and they sell a lot and then they disappear. They're very fast, you know, and they're like a star, really, like a shooting star. And he said, and other books are marathon runners. And I mean, mine's just amazing, really, that it continues, it goes on, it's been translated into heaven knows how many languages now, but
that's
over
amazing.
20.
That's fantastic. Well, all credit to you, because at the end of the day, you wrote the book, so
that's, well, it's evolved a lot. I mean, I've had
yes.
that's been a great opportunity. I've had the chance to do new editions, and they have been quite major things. So I've been able to really develop it as I've been developing as well.
Yes, fantastic. So you've had a very interesting journey, and look at the opportunities that you did say yes to. And the majority of the people who I work with are female entrepreneurs from all different stages, Sue. You know, they might be a couple of years into their business, and they might be 12 years into their business. but well, for whatever reason, they're going through a transformation, they're going through change. And as I have done as well, there might be challenges that they're faced with. And I suppose sometimes in a way, they may see a sign that they assume is telling them, don't be so silly, you're taking a risk, this is too uncomfortable. What could you say to someone who's literally, you know, as you say, standing on the edge of something which could be just amazing? It could explode for them in such a positive way. And they're noticing right now they're feeling really scared. Do I push myself over the edge? What would you say to that?
I think the feeling scared's inevitable. Mm. You know, I remember when I left the corporate world and I'd been working for, well, it had changed names, but in its last phase it was ICL, International Computers Limited.
Yes.
And I remember when I was deciding to leave and set up my own business, I was terrified. And it was real black nights of fear. So I think it doesn't have to be as extreme as that. But I think the scariness, if it wasn't scary, it probably wouldn't be exciting or an opportunity or have that kind of quality about it. So I think that's something that goes with the territory. And it's being, I mean, one of my talks I did last year, I spoke about going diving with my son.
Oh, wow.
And so going scuba diving, because he'd asked me. And when you said stand on the edge, I talked particularly about standing on the edge and being asked to step in with all the diving gear on. And for me, that was a real metaphor for what it's like. And you either go, I'm either going to stand here and dither and shake, or I'm going to say, no, I'm definitely going to do it. Or you do it. And there's not much point standing and dithering, really, because it doesn't really serve any purpose. So it's either yes or no.
Yes, exactly. I think with some of the people that I certainly have worked with myself and maybe even conversations with friends, that it seemed to be that in 2013, there were lots of situations that I suppose acted as a block for people as they saw it. But actually, I very much believe it was a learning curve. And this year is all about transformation. But what seems to have happened to some people I know is that suddenly, because of all those blocks, their business has been negatively affected or had been negatively affected from a financial point of view. Yes. So some of them are thinking, should I stay with what I know? And at least it's been a bread and butter for me for a while. Or should I take this risk with something that I don't really know what the outcome's going to be? I don't really know if it's going to work. And not only that, there are people around me that are saying, people don't buy this sort of thing. They don't go for this sort of stuff. It's you know, it's all woo-woo. What would you say to that, Sue?
Well, I think it has been a difficult time. I mean, I think that it's, you know, the nature of business and the workplace has been very challenging in the last couple of years. I mean, I've worked through a number of recessions, and it's probably been one of the toughest ones.
Mm.
And I think that people are just getting confidence back now.
Yes.
But beginning to change. So I would have said to somebody asked me last year, you know, is this a time to go, let's say, independent? And I said, probably not. You know, if you've got an income at the minute, I would have been very careful at that time.
Mm.
So there are times when it's good and there's times when it's not so good. But similarly, when I decided to launch my NLP business and run open courses, people said to me, well, there are a couple of big schools already. you know, you don't stand a chance setting yourself up against those. I mean, I didn't think of myself as setting myself up against them. But they said, really, this is a crazy idea. And even some of my own associates were saying that to me.
But
it was something I was so passionate about it.
Mm.
And that's the thing. It depends why you're doing it. You know, if you're passionate about something, and I was, absolutely. And I thought, well, I just want to give this a go. Now, at the same time, I think it's very important not to, like, burn all the bridges.
Yes.
It is important to pace yourself into it, to be in a position where either you put yourself in a position where it doesn't matter if you don't get the business.
Yes.
Because I think if you're in a situation of having to get business, then it's not a healthy position to be in.
No, not at all.
Even if it means, you know, I don't know, work night shift somewhere, to have some money as income to cover or get rid of some of the things that are unnecessary, that are a cost. So that's quite a tight balance to manage.
And I suppose
But
from
it's an
a,
important one.
yeah, sorry, sorry, yes. It is important. I think that's very good advice to give. What I believe does hold people back is what's going on in their consciousness, in their mindset.
Yes,
That little,
absolutely.
that belief system. It's such a powerful thing. You on one hand you want to ignore it and think, consciously I'm choosing to ignore it, but it could chat us away, and you think, actually, now I can't make the differentiation between what's a reality and what's actually in my mindset holding me back. How
Well,
do
none of
you?
it's reality.
None of
None
that's
of it's
reality.
reality.
Exactly,
So
exactly.
you might as well make a reality that works for you. I mean, one of the things that I find when I'm coaching people, one of the things that can be very powerful in that context, one of the things I've modeled over the years is provocative coaching, coaching with humor, and that was based on the work with Frank Farrelly. And I, when you were saying that, what comes to mind is like his line would be, well, you could have it on your tombstone. She could have taken that step, but she didn't.
I
She
love
could have
that.
had that knife, but she decided to play it safe. So he would use, put things in the context. So he said the main motivators for people for change are money, sex, and death. So if you confront them with what might be on the tombstone, if they don't, well, then it's still their choice. They might decide they do want to have, well, she was cautious and have that on the tombstone. But it's like you kind of come face to face with the implications then of the decision that you make.
Yes, absolutely. And I think as well, it's important when you've got so many people around you, as again, I know, I was speaking to a client last week and she said, I've got everyone around me that just feels that they're against me. And I said, well, they may
Oh,
be,
get rid of them.
yes, and get rid of
Just,
them.
I'd
Well,
say
some of
just
the,
get rid of them. They're not the
well,
right people around you. That
I
would
know,
be
well,
step one.
I know. Well, one of them's her husband, so I'm not quite sure what the
Ah.
situation would be. But I said to her, on one hand, you've got to think they may be, because they can't see themselves taking that leap as you are, or they could be jealous. And I mean, I remember when I first set up my business, everyone on my mother's side, they're all very entrepreneurial, had their own business. And I was employed and I was made redundant for the fifth time. I said, I'm going to set up my own business. And they all said, no, don't do it. It's really stressful. And of course, as they started to see my own success, we knew you could do it. You're great. I thought, well, I'm really glad I never listened to you in the first place, because I don't think I
Don't
would have
tell them, that's their
clue.
answer. Just do
Exactly.
it.
Just
I
do
think
it.
some things are best because you are ultimately alone when you run your own business. One of my colleagues years ago said to me, he said, you were thinking of going independent, Sue. He said, you realize that means you are going to be independent. And I didn't quite know what he meant at the time, but I do know now. So if you're relying on telling other people and getting their reactions, you probably shouldn't be doing it. So it comes down to you making a decision. Of course, there's people very close to you that, and it could be very close family. But, other than that, it's got to be your own decision if you're going to go independent, if that's what
Absolutely.
you're facing.
Yes, definitely. And I think as well, because of the belief system so many people have been programmed into, you have to have a safe job and a safe income and pay your bills and don't spend more than you earn and so forth, which is obviously good advice at the latter part. However, when we're not programmed as children, well, we certainly haven't been, certainly I wasn't, to live your dreams, take a risk, believe in yourself, go for it. And I think that's what's been missing. So, certainly in this country, in America, it seems to be a very different situation altogether. So you're absolutely right. When you, if you feel you have to start telling people what you're doing, they can't see
Yes.
what you're seeing. They've got a very different belief system. And it's something that you said in a message to me, and remember that we all die in the end. So we might
We
as well
do,
make good of
yes.
this life while we're here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Frank Farrelly said, even if you eat broccoli, you die.
Yes. Oh no. I won't tell my
Yeah,
children
afraid so. That's the difference.
that. I thought that would let me live forever. And so, you know, in terms of helping people to move forward and take that risk, yes, you're absolutely right. You know, we are on our own. It's really important as well to mix with like-minded people as well. I saw someone quoted, you become the, I can't remember the exact quote, but you become the same person as the five people you spend most of your time with. I mean, would you agree with that from a very sort of NLP point of view, I suppose?
I would take the line that it's really important to hitch yourself to rising stars.
Yes.
Whatever that means to you.
Mm.
So that you attach yourself to people who are models of excellence, really rising in the realms that, you know, they are specializing in. Because that rubs off on you. I mean, if you're doing modeling, you know, as you do with NLP, then you can be very specific about what you learn from them. It just becomes a part of who you are.
Exactly, exactly. And do you mind just talking a little bit about modeling for people who haven't really come across that before, Sue?
Well, it's the aim is to be able to unpack and reproduce excellence that you might, that you have already within yourself, but you might recognize it more readily in other people initially. And it's things that they don't know consciously. You're not just asking people how do they do what they do, but you're looking for the kind of things that they take for granted. And it's very often things that they think or they believe, actions, very specific actions that they take that enable them to do what they do and achieve what they achieve. So modeling is that process of discovering how they do what they do in such a way that you can reproduce that yourself or teach it to other people.
Absolutely. But I suppose at the same time, still having the elements of what makes you different and unique, I suppose, as well, would you say?
Well, it's when you model something in other people, you can't recognize it if you haven't already got it in yourself.
If,
you know, the principle is if you can spot it, you've got it, but you might not have nurtured it or developed it in yourself. So it's not as if you're taking on things that aren't there already, but you are, if you like, nourishing those things that are there already, so that you become, in a sense, more of who you are. You allow the essence of who you are to emerge.
Exactly. No, I and it's interesting because one of the questions I ask people when I start working with them is, if you knew you were absolutely brave and could achieve anything, who comes to mind? You know, who would you model yourself towards? And quite a few people say a braver version of themselves. And and I think that's fantastic. In fact, to me, that's the best response ever, because they've recognised something in themselves. And, you know, Sue, as I said, sometimes challenges happen and people feel they get off track.
Which... Sometimes. I'd say they're daily.
Sometimes.
I mean, you know, if you think, if anybody thinks, oh, well, there'll be a few challenges, then they should think again, because it's going to be constant.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any smooth, easy ride in life generally. So it's saying, well, okay, that's life, and I'm going to see every one of these as an opportunity to learn, to grow, to develop a new way of thinking. But if somebody's looking for a smooth road, then running their own business or generally being in life's not the place for them to be.
No, exactly. I mean, you talk about being able to live with discomfort, and and I think every day when you are faced with some sort of challenge, you're placed there in a feeling of discomfort if you've never faced anything like this before, which inevitably I suppose that will be the case, or when you're learning something new. But what about where you're
I'm curious about those people who've never faced that before. Where have they been?
Exactly. There's always a challenge. I think people talk about getting over a challenge and thinking, that's it, once I've cleared that, there'll be nothing again. I've got clients no, it's not. They go through it all the time, don't they? But when they're living through discomfort.
We do, yes. I mean, not just they, but I think we all do. If you're putting yourself out there and kind of pushing the edge particularly, there's going to be constant challenge.
Yes, absolutely. One thing that comes up quite often is the discomfort of knowing there are other people in the same industry as yourself. And it's interesting, you said the same was with you, where, you know, you told your colleague you're going to set up your NLP training, and someone said, well, you know, you're up against these other people. And even though there's nobody like us, we are absolutely unique. We are the only thing, we are the only person who, you know, there's even if you've got a twin, they're still different. However, there are people that still see this as very uncomfortable to them. They're in that place of discomfort. I know you say it's important to specialize and be different and push yourself over the edge, literally, in a lot of the sense of the word. But how do they, you know, how can they program their subconscious mind? What can they work on internally to support them with that?
Well, I think if there's more people like them in the business, that's good news.
Yes.
You know, take NLP. I mean, it's just grown phenomenally in yes. the 30 years I've been involved in doing it. And my aim now is to create other people doing the same thing. You know, so I have trainers setting up their own businesses in India, people in the UK. And it's my goal is to encourage people to do that.
Yes.
That doesn't take away from what I do. That just adds, it's like it spreads the word about what it's
yes.
all about.
Yes.
And I always took the line of, you know, the things that I develop, like materials, and when I developed a web page, was to give as much away as I could.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember talking to somebody who was showing me some materials he just developed. And he was standing by his car and he said, well, I'll just put them back in the car now because I don't want anybody else to get. So and I thought, well, why wouldn't you? You know, surely you'd want people to see this and yeah. to promote it.
Mm.
So I take a very different line. I think that the more people there are, the more it challenges you, you know, to be good at what you do, to specialize. But the more it spreads the word about, you know, what you do.
Yes, yes, definitely. Well, and, you know, it's really interesting that we're having this conversation because I had, I was told to always keep a notepad next to my bed. So if I had a dream and I remembered it when I woke up, was to write it down. I don't always remember to do that. I think my poor husband's like, the light comes on. It's like, oh gosh, not another idea you have again. And I am a creator in my profile, so I've got a good excuse. I had an idea this morning, actually, and I must admit the first thought that came into my head is, oh, there's already a couple of people who've got really high profiles that are already doing this. And then I thought to myself,
right.
which is great. They're both very different people. And in fact, one of them
yes.
I've actually chosen to work with for something in particular, and I chose her because of her personality. And what was interesting, I thought, but everyone keeps telling me I'm really good at this. So maybe I
yeah.
should share this. It's, you know, I'm sharing based on my gift. Everyone else
yes.
has got their gift. So it's interesting. This has come up. See, I always
and
learn
you could
something.
Go, I mean, it sounds yeah. like you said you're working with one of those people. I mean, you go to those people and say, you know, how are you doing it? You know, can
yes.
I learn with you? They're probably, many people would be very honored by that, very
yes.
flattered by that.
Yes,
I mean that's
absolutely.
The basis of modeling to say.
Yes,
you know when I met Frank Farrelly, it was over 20 years ago, and you know I thought, wow, you know I want to learn what this man does.
Yeah,
well, he didn't say go away, Sue. You know, because there's only room for me in this world. He just allowed those of us who chose to hang around him and to discover what he does. And same
yes.
with another mentor of mine, Gene Early.
Mm.
He's just given away to me everything that he thinks that he does so that I can do the same.
Yes.
But he's only grown in people's eyes because of that approach to life.
Yes, that's interesting.
So I think you go to these people and go, wow, can I learn with you? You know,
yeah.
can I study with you?
Yes, it's amazing. It takes a very open mind from both sides, I think, for that to happen. Because again,
yes.
I have come across people who are very close-minded about that and will see, and I know just from what I've heard, they'll see me as a competitor and want to walk away. I mean, in fact, you know, on one of my businesses with a VA training, I had a conversation with someone who's, you know, in my eyes, an amazing trainer. In the VA world, and we had a great conversation
yeah.
and we laughed how we said all, you know, people see us as competitors, but we are very, very different. We've both got very different experiences, so And we laughed about that. And it was good that we could have a conversation and laugh about that. I'm very open-minded about it. I haven't got a problem, because people buy people at the end of the day, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, look at what you're doing right now. I mean, you are interviewing me. So in that sense, you are allowing me to promote what I do.
Yes, exactly.
So you're doing that very thing.
Yes.
And, you know, if you, for example, if you look at on my web page, on the very front page, there is a button, I think it's called recommended. Mm. And if you click that, it's got all the people that we would recommend that people go to, people who've trained with me typically, who I know.
Wow.
And they are free to put all their courses and all their trainings and promote it through my website.
Now that is amazing. So, yes.
So I think if you do that to others, they do that to you too.
Yes.
It's not necessarily the reason for doing it, but
no.
I think be the example of what you want.
Yes, that's interesting.
To experience in the world.
And do you find, because this is quite interesting, this has come up, because I've actually got a couple of clients I'm working with where this will really resonate with them. And I think it'd be, well, they'll listen to this interview and it'll be interesting what their thoughts are. I think just knowing them as I do, and again, it's only assumption, of course, that they could turn around and say, well, what if all the business goes to the other people and none comes back to me? I mean, what goes on in the subconscious mind there?
Probably, probably not good enough. So there's a big message in that says, yes, they probably shouldn't be. So, you know, you can either fight your corner, you know, and defend everything you've got, or, I mean, it's not going to work for everybody, because if you haven't specialized in something, if you haven't really developed a way of being good at what you do, then probably it will go to other people.
Yeah.
So, and if that happens, that's feedback and says, hey, you need to, you know, sort of step up a few gears here.
So yes.
People are attracted to what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some people who shouldn't do this. You know, there are some people who are not tough enough. They're not single-minded enough. You know, if they're expecting the world to give them a living, or that other people will, you know, lay down competition, then it's not for them.
Yes.
I always remember Frank Farrelly saying to somebody, you know, do you really think you're sociopathic enough to do this? And probably the answer was no in that case.
Yeah. Don't do it. I think as well, just what comes to mind for me, Sue, is that someone has to, or maybe they would feel very confident about what they offer and know that really they just want to attract the people that they want to work with. They don't want to work with someone who's not going to value them.
I agree.
You know, so I actually think it's actually a very brave step. It's a very brave step, I think, to take, because it's not something I've seen often, if I'm honest with you.
Well, it's I think that's a great advantage about, like, and it's been the great advantage of having a book, of writing or doing talks, is that people get to see you for what you do.
Yes.
And then they can decide whether they are attracted to you in your style. Whereas if you're selling without that kind of, without doing that education of people, then the chances are you're going to attract all kinds of people and some are not suited to working with you.
Yes, absolutely right.
So I did a talk last night, so the chances are that if people contact me subsequently, it's because they've liked my style.
Yes.
So that's a very
interesting,
very key factor. I mean, I think the really most significant thing though is if someone thinks, oh, I'm going to do this business because there's a great market there and I could make a lot of money, and you know, that could be my future, then my view is they shouldn't do it.
Yes.
If they are thinking about doing it because they go, I so want people to get this, you know, I so want to give this to others to make a difference for them, because I can see where people would benefit from having this way of thinking or this way of being, or it would be just such a gift, then they should do it. If it's not for others, if it's purely from the point of view of self and money and security, then I don't believe that's sustainable.
No, not at all. I very much believe do what you love and the money will come. You know, focus on the outcomes. I mean, I've got a couple of clients that I'm coaching at the moment, and the results they've had make me feel so great. Not because I think, oh, it's all to do with me. I love seeing how people make that shift. I just get so much reward from that. And that to me just puts a smile on my face every day. Sue, as we
And
come to
that's what people are attracted to
Oh,
you
of
for.
course. Yes, exactly. I think, you know, when I'm working with someone at the moment, as I said, you know, I chose this particular lady. She is actually one of your ex-students, actually. So I'll talk to you about that later. But I came to her because she was
I'm worried about
desperate.
the ex bit.
Oh, maybe the ex, maybe she's currently your student. Not for
No, I don't mean
that.
that.
No. What was interesting, you know, about her, she's not the sort of person I generally would have chosen to work with, but I listened to her. Well, in fact, I watched her on a Google Hangout. And I just thought, there's something about this lady I really get. And it's like she's talking to me. And before she had even finished the Google Hangout, I was on her website and I'd bought one of her products and contacted
Right.
her. So that's the
Yes.
power of doing what you love.
Absolutely.
And
And
so,
it's do what
yeah.
you love and specialize in it as well. I mean,
And
the old, you know, adage
specialize.
about 10,000 hours, well, it's at least 10,000 hours. You know, it's like choose something that you are passionate about and
Yes.
study it. I mean, it's not just a case of doing what you love. It's bloody hard work as well.
Yes,
To be
exactly.
constantly, you know, upping your game in terms of what you offer to people and what the
Yes.
difference that you can make.
I think it's important to evolve as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And just as we come to towards the end, Sue, I think, you know, you've written and you specialised in NLP for leaders. What sort of words of wisdom or tips can you share where us as business owners, as entrepreneurs, can utilize some of what leaders in the workplace will be using to help them get ahead? What can you share with us that we can do the same in our own businesses?
Could you rephrase that question? That was quite a
Yes,
complex
it is
question.
quite a complex question. It all sounds different in my head. I think it comes
I
up.
went into a, I went into a trance. What's
Yes.
the question again?
People
I
often
suppose that
say
could be a
that,
word of
yes.
advice is be concise.
Okay, so where you have leaders in the workplace there and you've
Yes.
shared with
Yes.
them some NLP you know, teaching and
Okay.
practice, so that as leaders they are leading the way towards their company's success.
Okay. Yep.
As someone who's a business owner, I mean we're having to lead ourselves. So
Yes.
what could you share with us that helps us as the leader of our own business to drive
Of
it?
our own business
Yeah.
to drive it
To
forward. Well,
drive it
hopefully I
forward.
have done that in this interview
There's
so
been a
far.
lot, actually, I have to say.
Otherwise, otherwise I've got a very different perception of it.
Yes.
If I were to highlight something, how do
Yes.
we be leaders in our own business? I think that you know, I come back to it time and time again. You know, it's Gandhi's words were be the example that you want to see in the world.
Yes.
That whatever it is that you want in other people or that you want in terms of your environment or reaction,
Yes.
it's be it.
Yes.
And leaders, you know, leaders in corporates, for example, it's their patterns, their thinking, their ways of behaving that form the
Yes.
culture of the business. So if we're applying that to self, and that's how I refer to it. It's apply to self. It's the
Yes.
only place where we can make a difference is within ourselves, but that influences outwards.
Absolutely. What you give out is what you get, isn't it? That's really, and you're absolutely right. I mean, everything that
And
you
what
put
you
out.
get tells you what you're giving out.
Yes. It really does. It really does. That's brilliant. And certainly everything you've shared here in this interview has been amazing and really has been a great lesson. Not just for the listeners, for me as well. It's quite interesting when I'm interviewing people, I'm hearing a lesson for myself, which is wonderful. So before we go, where would you like to direct people who want to know more about what you do and also some of your trainers as well? Where's the best place for them to go?
Well, they could go to my website, which is Sunite, as one word, SUEKNIGHT.com or .co.uk.
Fantastic.
Everything's on there. And/or if people want to read, well, my book is a very good summary in a way of
Yeah.
some of the key things I believe in. And there is a third edition of that now, which has got some, it's got a section on coaching with humor, for example. It's got a section
Oh.
on sections on clean language and time, which it didn't have in the earlier edition. So it is
Yeah.
quite a new book if people have got an older version. If they've got a
Yeah.
first edition, the third edition would be like a completely different book now. So
Right.
it has got a lot of, but probably much of my latest thinking in there.
That's fantastic. That's brilliant. And I know you've got some YouTube videos, especially there's one that you originally sent me, which was a TED talk, which you were doing in
Yes.
French, which was very impressive. So,
Very scary.
oh, you were in your discomfort, but you did it well. You wouldn't have
Thank you.
noticed. And of course, we can share some YouTube links as well. So Sue,
If
thanks.
people do watch that, I would say some people think, oh, it's in French, so I won't watch it. But there is a thing called captions in the bottom right-hand corner where you can get English subtitles. I
That's
have said
it.
that to people. I still have people say, oh, it was in French, so I didn't listen to it. But
Oh,
there
no,
are English subtitles.
that's it. I do remember looking at that, and it is, very impressive. So Sue, thank you very, very much for being my guest today and for sharing
You're
all
very
those
welcome.
amazing words of wisdom. And I certainly will be implementing some of those myself. So Sue Knight, thank you very much.